Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:19, and that is Pacific Summertime, and today is June 21st. And today was a pretty quiet day overall, and perhaps the best performer was in Japan, where the Nikkei was up 1.25%, but just over that percent. The Hang Seng is also starting to firm up, but China is still very inert, I think is probably the best way to describe it. Certainly what we saw last week was that the administration came in to support the market, the CSI 300 at least, around the 3,000 level. And the market has been ranging above that for the last 6 months. So the last thing they want is a return to the extreme volatility that we've had. But at the same time, the market is in need of a catalyst to really drive the market significantly above where it is right now. So the most likely prognosis is just higher to lateral ranging and with an absence of volatility. Then when we look at the majority of stock markets in Europe and indeed on Wall Street, it was a quiet day. A lot of the short covering has already taken place in anticipation of the Brexit vote. And of course, we're not going to have that vote for another 2 days. So then, you know, there is a there's unlikely to be a great deal of volatility ahead of the vote, but neither are we likely to see anybody taking big bets. So that would suggest that tomorrow is likely to be a fairly quiet day as well. And provided, of course, now that the market has priced in the extreme likelihood that the UK will still be in the EU come Friday morning, then the only thing that would really upset the apple cart is if that does not, in fact, come out to be the case. So we've already had the volatility and the trading around that decision. And unless there is an extreme upset, I think the volatility surrounding it is over. And gold was down today of $20, $22, in fact, and silver down $25. So they are unwinding what had been a short-term overbought condition. But they both have you know, quite bullish characteristics outside of this whole Brexit debate, and not least because they are relatively cheap compared to where they were previously, and also they have bullish characteristics in a deflationary environment, and one where there is still, despite the pullback on bund prices that we've had, there's still a substantial quantity of sovereign bonds that have got negative yields. Well, and it is a testament to continued interest that the gold shares sector remains really quite firm, and there is continued evidence that people are buying on pullbacks. But by and large, it was a weak day on commodity prices, and that was particularly the case for sugar, which has been surging higher but pulled back by about 1% in here today. And I think a lot of eyes too would have been on the oil market, where prices were down about $1 for much of the trading day, but have paired that decline into the close, and they're only down like 15 and 17 cents respectively for Brent and WTI. So this continues to be a bounce for energy prices, and it is one of the most consistent trends anywhere at present, where these $6 pullbacks are resolved with clear upward dynamics. And until that progression is broken, then we will have no evidence that this advance in oil prices, which has been going now for nearly 6 months, is over. But of course, the higher prices go, the greater the incentive is to increase supply. So we know that this isn't going to continue inevitably, but like I said, there's no evidence that it's over just yet. Then when we start to look at the bigger picture and I think a lot of it and a lot of risk perception is still in the currencies. So, for example, the pound having been as high today as almost 148 is closing out the day closer to just above 146, and it's down 80 ticks on the day. So, unwinding this short covering rally that drove it up so spectacularly over the last 4 days is showing signs of ebbing a little bit in here. But and I suspect that we are going to get a little bit of a less volatile environment for just the next couple of days until people really have concrete evidence that their assumptions are indeed correct. But the pound is comparatively weak relative to where it has traded previously and is really only beginning to bounce. So there is potential for the pound to improve from these levels. And the euro is around 112.5 and down a bit in here, but the fact that you have negative interest rates for both Europe and Japan, and the yen was a little bit weaker in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion, and this is still a consistent medium term uptrend for the yen. Well, then you have to conclude that if you're seeing strength in the euro and strength in the yen, and they both have negative interest rates, that which are inherently deflationary, and that they have taken that the fact that it is deflationary means that they are removing or reducing the quantity of currency in circulation rather than increasing it, which is what we would expect from quantitative easing, then it's contributing to their relative strength. And the big question, of course, is when are central banks going to come to that conclusion? And again, there isn't any great deal of evidence that they're about to give it up just yet. But when they eventually do, then that's likely to represent the end of the rallies that we're getting in both the yen and the euro. And particularly for the eurozone, the relative strength of the euro has been a headwind for the stock market. And then the European stock market has been trending lower for a year. And this is a fairly impressive bounce that we've had yesterday and a little bit of follow through in here today. And a number of these markets have unwound most of their oversold conditions relative to the trend mean. But medium term progressions of lower rally highs are still in evidence. So then they do need to break those to really indicate that demand is back in the driver's seat beyond the short term. And I guess there is still a question as to whether they can achieve that without additional weakness from the euro. Or at least, and I guess in a best case scenario, evidence that you're getting broad spectrum growth pulling through in the eurozone. And there's very little evidence of that just yet. So then I believe that Europe is well worth watching in here because it has already been trending lower for a year. And if indeed the ECB pulls back from negative interest rates and has an open pocketbook with respect to quantitative easing, then we could conclude that the eurozone is about where Wall Street was in 2011 before QE3, which was completely open-ended, was put in place. And then shares really just took off because we know that quantitative easing is results in asset price inflation. But we do not have a great deal of evidence that negative interest rates result in asset price inflation, and actually rather the opposite, and particularly when you've got these strong currencies. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. And I think with that, I will leave for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.